First up today is dear brother Jody Caskey from Reconciled Church. Yeah, he's loosening up.
All right.
Hi, brother. Brother, thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. All right, I'm going to move this a little bit. I have a tendency to walk around a little bit when I teach and get all excited about God's Word, right? Okay. Testimonies, God stories, they are so incredibly important because there's someone on the far corner of the room thinking, wow, I could connect with that brother. I wonder if I could talk to him about what's going on in my life. It comes to anything that we're going through, no matter what. You can talk to somebody. We're not called to be isolated, right? And so it's good to see our young people with us too this morning. I got to meet a couple. I wanted to start off with this. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with your faith and you're struggling in your relationship with who God is, well, we heard about who God is last night, right, with Brother Flint. But you're here today in order to really understand what it means to follow Jesus Christ, to be fishers of men. I want to go with this introduction. Revelations, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelations 4:11, says, "Worthy are you, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things by your will they existed and were created." So that means that we need to recognize that God rules, all right? He's the creator of all things. He rules. So what do we need to do? We need to recognize that God is the God of creation. God of creation. Secondly, we need to recognize, again, the gospel that we are sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we recognize that we've sinned. And when you've sinned, we've broken the law of God. We've broken the Ten Commandments, so to speak, right? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me, for I'm a jealous God. You will not create any idol images and worship those images, heaven and earth and under the earth. You will not, right? And you will keep my name holy, right? You will not misuse my name. And you will keep the Sabbath holy. The four commandments, the direct relationship to us, to God. The last six, right? You shall honor your mother and father, right? You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. And you shall not covet your neighbor's things. When we break those laws, what do? When we break those laws, you separate yourself from the love of God because he's holy and righteous. What do we do about that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That love letter written to each and every single one of us today. Every one of us in this room has our God story. It may be different in different levels, but we have one common denominator. And who is that, brothers? Jesus Christ. So what does God do? God provides. He provides a way out. He made a way out. That he gave his only son, right? So he provided. We need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That means when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he looks on you with righteousness. And through the years of my porn addiction, and you guys heard my testimony last year, and going to my wife for forgiveness and laying my head on her lap, humbling myself, God humbled me. And that's a great place to be in humility. When you're serving God, You want to give them all? Then give them your all. Right? Humility. What happens next? Jesus leaves the throne of heaven and comes to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He leaves heaven, the throne of heaven. Jesus gives. Now, in no way, shape, and form am I being disrespectful to the cross, but I do kids' corner at church, and so I use object lessons quite often. Keeps the kids, their attention span going. But remember, gentlemen, that the cross wasn't made to be beautiful. It's the one who hung on it that made it beautiful. Amen. I love to fish. I do. I really do. I enjoy taking kids fishing and teaching them how to set up, how to do things, the excitement of it, everything about it. I love it. So that's why I have this display here as we go into Mark 1, verse 17. What's next? We respond. You respond to the Lord. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. It's not about the law or legalism. It's coming to the end of yourself, which we all have. Doesn't matter how young we are or how old we are. What God can do in your life, he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. God has a plan, and that plan includes you. You need to believe in God, the one and only one who can save you. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the Lord's voice. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak, Lord, on your behalf. Lord, as we learn about what it means to follow you in the whole biblical sense of it all, those most powerful words could be the most powerful words in the scriptures when you say, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I don't know if it is, Lord God, but it sure hits me in the heart every time I read it. I am privileged to stand before these men and to read your word, Lord God, and to teach your word this morning. Lord, bless this time. Bless our time together. And thank you so much for Real Men, the conference here today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'd like to, James, if you will, I got to show you a picture. Anybody knows these guys? Yeah, 1992 Olympic champions. I remember as a kid, I knew these guys' names from a little boy. The NBA players now, I don't know. I barely even watch it. Why? It's just, I don't know. I just, you know, as a pastor now, God's got me pretty busy. But these guys, I rode on a plane with Clyde Drexler one time to Houston, Texas, Charles Barkley, David Robinson, Antonio Spurs, John Stockton, Utah Jazz, Karl Malone, the White Picket Fence brothers, right? We know all about him. Michael Jordan. He didn't really want to be on this team at first. Is there anybody else could do this besides me? Right? In an interview, but they got him to come on. Number 9, Michael Jordan. Chris Mullins, right? Who'd he play for? Huh? Warriors, yeah. Patrick Ewing. Who do you play for? The Knicks. Larry Bird. That's my guy. Yes. Magic Johnson. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson turned the NBA upside down when they came on the court, didn't they? Scottie Pippen. Christian Laettner. Yeah. The one thing that's not on there, though, is their coach. Anybody remember their coach? Huh? I can't remember. You know why? I didn't think about him. I think it's the coach for the Pistons. Yeah, I think he was their coach. But that really caught my eye when I was thinking about these guys. And notice how many is there. There's 12. And so I wanted to talk to you about God's dream team, the 12. What it means to be called and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate example, the greatest coach in history to teach us about how to serve one another, how to love one another, and how to sacrifice for one another. Pretty amazing. I want this to be written on your hearts today. You cannot lead where you have not been. Does that make sense? I heard that from a pastor many years ago. You cannot lead where you have not been. So, you have, everybody got a plenty? I hope I made enough copies for your breakout session. You got everybody get one? I hope so. Okay. I want to welcome you to Back to Basics breakout session number one, Making Fishers of Men. In the beginning of Mark. Everybody seen the Action Bible? It's the animation Action Bible. I have it at home. I was going to bring it as an illustration. My kids grew up reading one. I'd read with them. It's really awesome. Well, guess what? The book of Mark is exactly about that. It's the shortest gospel, but Mark, John Mark, is focusing on the actions of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, he talks about the genealogy, right? And the baptism, the birth of Jesus, excuse me. But from the moment of the book of Mark, he's exactly right there at the Jordan River, John the Baptist, his cousin. Things are happening at the Jordan River. You got the baptism of Jesus Christ. You got John the Baptist. And what was his message, right? What was his message? Prepare the way, right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Prepare the way. So that's what he's doing. He's preparing the way. Mark 1:17, and Jesus said to them, if you could put, yeah, thank you, James. And Jesus said to them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Here's some quotes on following Christ. If following Christ has never cost you anything, you're not following Christ. You know who said that? A comedian, an actor, Tim Conway. Carol Burnett Show, the Apple Dumpling Gang. Apple Dumpling Gang rides again. Yeah. Following Christ isn't something that can be done half-heartedly on the other side. It's not a label we can display when it's useful. I must be central to everything we do and are. Pastor of Cornerstone Community Church, California, Francis Chan says that. Then we have this. If Christ be anything, we must be everything. If Christ be anything, we must be everything. Excuse me, he must be everything. This 19th century English Baptist minister, who would that be? The Prince of Pastors. Way to go, guys. The primary reason why people are not willing to follow Jesus is these two words, pride and rules. Mark 7:22-23 says, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within. And they defile a person. They defile of a person. The definition of defile, to make unclean, spiritually or morally unclean. I remember back in the days when you could get off the bus. Mrs. Brandhorst, can I get off the bus? I'm going to walk home. Okay, Jody. Well, I could see my house was on top of a hill. It's a farm, 15-acre farm on the South Tootle. Bye, Mrs. Brandhorst. Bye, Jody. Boy, that creek looks inviting. What do? I go sit in it. On my school clothes. I sat right in the mud. It was a nice day. My mom comes out on the front porch. Jody Kasky, get your out of there. Get up there now. I was all muddy from head and toe. I was defiled. I defiled myself. Yeah. Rules. Most people, like the Israelites, the Sanhedrin, ourselves, before I became a follower of Jesus Christ, I ruled over myself. I worshiped myself. When my daughter was first born, Hannah, I had to put a baby crib together. I did not read the instructions. I was a real man. It was 110 degrees in a single trailer, a single wide trailer. I was in that bedroom putting this humongous baby crib together, and I was, let me tell you, my Christianity went out the window. I was frustrated, but I refused to read the instructions. So what do? I call my dad. The guy could fix anything. I call my dad. He comes to me. And my frustration and my failure, I was not interested in following the rules that were good for me. But my dad, my teacher, came. He said, Jode, he called me Jode. What are you doing? Hey, Dad. Gosh, it's hot, as Frosty the Snowman would say. Would you help me here? He goes, sure. What does he do? Sits over on the bed, gets out the instructions. Here's three reasons why people choose not to follow Jesus. Number one, they do not want to submit to authority. That's on your worksheet. They did not want to submit to authority. John 11:48. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. They were unwilling to yield to Jesus' authority. Who were those people? The religious leaders. Number two, they refused to examine the evidence of Jesus. Right? I read the Gospels. I examine the evidence. I choose Jesus Christ. I choose because these men died for something they believed in. That's why I choose Jesus. How could this be? What is this about? They refused to examine the evidence of Jesus. Matthew 26:59. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. They were stuck in their pride and rules. How many of us are dealing with that? I'm stuck in this pride and rules thing. Legalism and everything else. I mean, I had conversation with, as an interim pastor, about wearing your hat in church. And I said, he chased out a kid out of the foyer. I didn't know this. Because he said, hey, you got to take your hat off. What? I like my hat. No, you can't come in here unless you take your hat off. The kid walked out. I was just like, oh, no. I said to the brother, God's not, he's not worried about the hat size. He's worried about the heart size, man. And he left the church over it. No reconciliation. Number three, they feared men more than they feared God. When the brother brought that up, I thought, wow, okay, this is confirmation. John 12:42, nevertheless, many, even the authorities, believed in him, but the fear of the Pharisees, the separate ones, right? That's what it means, the separate ones. I'm better than you. They did not confess it so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. This group of sincere but misled religious leaders believed that religious ritual and separation from common sinners was the way to please God. Sincere in their beliefs, sincerely misled. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Remember that? As a rule, they did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. You'll find that in Mark chapter 3, verse 6. They weren't fair, you see. Hey, I had to throw that in there. I mean, I was just like, okay. Back to the calling of fishers of men. Jesus knows that these men, Peter, Andrew, and John, and James, knew their stuff. They had no idea what was going to happen. Andrew, hanging out with Jesus' cousin, listening to him, being discipled by John, most likely, spending a lot of time with him. He says, hey, there's someone coming that's unworthy of you and I tie his sandals. And when he sees him come out of the Jordan, there he is, the Lamb of God. Andrew, that's who you want to follow. Jesus knows what he's doing. He's the dream team is coming. It started. Young and strong. They can work together. They're catching fish and mending nets to catch more fish. They knew it. Their dad knew it. Jesus knew these men could learn to share the gospel, to catch men and to minister to men. God had a plan. That plan included them. God's got a plan. That plan includes you. Five reasons you're called to follow Jesus. All right. A call to follow Jesus means, number one, you. God has a plan, and that plan includes you. Jeremiah 29:11, we know this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to welfare and not of evil, right? To give you a future and a hope. I love that word, hope. But I messed up, so please add the E in there. Instead of hop, it's hope, okay? I have a secretary now, but for me, it's been just me, so... Number two, learning and growing. I got two O's in that one. I'm so sorry. That's a mess up on my account, but my own type error. The call to discipleship is definite and demands a response to commitment. Discipleship is definite and demands a response to commitment. John 3:14. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. Apostles, messengers of the Lord. One, the apostle, one sent on a mission with a message. In this case, the gospel. Jesus' disciples were first learners. Then became apostles, taking the gospel to all who would listen. Disciples, students of God's word. Side note, learning and growing was a continuation of fellowship. Right? You enjoy your learning and growing? That's what we're doing here, right? And our fellowship? Awesome. That's a continuation of your learning and growing, your fellowship with one another. We're not created to be isolated. The devil wants to isolate us. God says no. Number three, obedience and sacrifice. To deny himself is to bring humility into his life and to decide to give other things priority. So we got humility and priority. To take up your cross means, are you willing to suffer for him and for the sake of the gospel? We know what's been going on, haven't we? Yeah. I cried for 2 days. 2 days straight. I was a wreck because everything was coming to head, evil in the world that we have today. The gospel. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. In the meantime, don't focus on the waves around us and the storms, right? Jesus picked me up. Jody, you're going to teach this weekend. You're going to be on the drums for me this weekend. Snap out of it. Here we are today. Mark 8:34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Wow. What does our cross look like for our marriages and our relationships with each other? I wonder if Jesus knew the dimensions of it, of the beam that he carried. Simon of Cyrene? I don't think he did. I bet he knew how heavy it was. The weight of burden can be really heavy. But you notice something there that's teachable. When we share each other's burdens, the beam's not so heavy, is it? You call somebody, you call a brother up. "Hey, Jody, would you pray with me over this? This is really, I'm having a hard time with my relationship with my wife right now, or what's going on at church. I'm overwhelmed with things. Will you pray with me?" "Yeah, bud. I'm going to stop right now. We're going to pray together. You want to go get a sandwich? You know?" In this first century crucifixion, the cross symbolizes shame and suffering. Shame and suffering. And it's reserved for capital punishment. What about Jesus? He didn't do anything wrong. His capital punishment was for love, for humanity. See, they didn't recognize it. They didn't take advantage of getting to know who he is. That God is unlimited what he can do in our lives. They want to stay with their rules, right? Stay with the cliques. They go out and pray and let everybody know they're praying in their garbs and their fanciness and everything else. God said, "Get alone, pray to me. Get alone." Jesus got alone. Really, a bunch of teenagers, you're going to want to get alone every once in a while, right? He gets alone with the Father. He prays to the Father. And he's interceding for us, praying. The condemned man would be required to carry his own beam on his own cross to the place of crucifixion. To follow Christ calls for us to make sacrifices in our lives. That includes sufferings. It's not easy, is it? To stay on that narrow road. And Jesus says, there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. I'm there with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will be with you. I'll always be with you. Obedience means obeying God shows our trust in God's will for our lives. Obedience. How's your obedience doing? This is heart checks time. Part of our growing, right? And learning. To follow Jesus means, number four, service and mission. Service and mission. Choosing to be a servant of Jesus brings freedom from pride. I had to deal with pride issues most of my life. And God dealt with me. I was prideful, and God dealt with me. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last to all and servant of all." You notice that's how they taught? They read in synagogues, and they taught. Hey, why? He was getting close to them. When I'm doing Kids Corner, I'm right there with those little guys. Hey, we're going to talk about compassion today. Yeah. I'm right there with them. He must be last of all and servant of all. Servant and pride. Everyone is enslaved to something or someone. Definition of servant, one who belongs to another. One who belongs to another. That's a, man, you could teach on that for a while with bond servants. I mean, wow. One who belongs to another. We belong to each other to serve one another, to serve the Lord, give them our very best. Even when we're not feeling very good, give them your very best. Being a servant involves humility, is the right view of God, self, and others. That's what humility is. Having the right view of God, of yourself, and others. It involves a participation, joining God where he's at work. Henry Blackaby, right? Knowing and experiencing God, right? Great study. Number five, lastly, faith and trust. Faith and trust is essential to have in discipleship. Faith and trust go hand in hand. Faith and trust go hand in hand. Mark 4:40. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" The observation, we know it, Jesus calms the storm. He's the only one that can, and he's the only one will. And what was the attitude in that boat with these fishermen? They're called to catch men. What were they doing? They're freaking out, right? There is tremendous wind on the Sea of Galilee, right? Plateaus surrounding everything, they have that. But this was not no ordinary storm. It was a teaching moment, wasn't it? Just like this is. Jesus calms the storm. The definition of faith, a belief system, a commitment to mind and heart. And remember this, brothers, faith is always active. Right? Definition of trust, to depend on, put one's confident in. Trust is a confident hope to believe that God is going to accomplish what he promised. That's that awesome word, hope, to believe that God is going to accomplish what he promised. We have a lot of hope, guys. I have hope. I have to have hope. If I don't, I'm a train wreck. Gotta have hope. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril." Now, Paul is talking about what he's been through. And let me tell you, you guys know he's been through a lot. Shipwrecked, right? Drug, right? Did he get bit by a snake? Into the fire it goes. I'm not done, man. But all these things, he says, deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. He's encouraging the church. He will deliver you. They're dealing with a lot. All those churches were brand new, starting out. They're dealing with a lot. Heresy teaching. Hey, you got to be circumcised before you can be saved. Worship angels. They're part of God. Worship. He's dealing with all this stuff, right? He's writing these letters to encourage. To follow Jesus means trusting Jesus in three areas of your life. Number one, guidance. Trusting God will guide you in every aspect of your life. Guidance. Trusting God will guide you in every aspect of your life. Number two, provisions. Trusting God will provide all the needs that are good for you. Right? You're not happy with the 1992 F-150, so you're, God, give me that 2025 diesel F-350, 450, 550, 650, 7. God's going to provide for you what is good for you, okay? Right now, what's the gas in the state of Washington? It's the highest in the nation. And Brother Doug just happened to break that one to me. I got to drive everybody home tonight. Hey, I'm honored to do so. You know that. Trusting God will provide all the needs that are good for you. Number three, protection. Trusting God will protect you when trials and tribulations come. If they haven't come already, they will. You're a born-again believer, you will go through it. And you know what? I have a funny feeling we all have and are. It's part of the helmet of salvation, recognizing, identifying that you are a child of the King. The helmet of salvation. Yeah. In conclusion, am I early, Phil? Oh, right on. Cool.
Yeah, questions and answers.
Ooh, that's right. All right. Hey, if I can't answer your question, I'm just going to tell you straight, because I don't want flesh answering your question, okay? The Apostle Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Right? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. He also said this, "Keep an eye on those who walk like Jesus." Isn't that cool? To look out and say, hey, you know what? Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I want to imitate Josh as he imitates Christ. I'm going to imitate Phil. I'm going to imitate Justin, Jamie. First time I was here, I was impressed with his session breakout. It was awesome. Can't remember but I knew that you spoke. It was awesome. That's what I get. All right. Remember this, guys. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example to follow. We can follow him through these things. Teachings, actions, and interactions. Okay? Teachings, actions, and interactions. We had a brother that was doing that, and his life was taken from him. He was interacting. He was compassionate. And gentle and firm when he needed to be. And love, speaking love and truth. Love and truth. We can do that too. By teachings, actions, and interactions. We can follow Jesus as his disciples through trust and faith. John 3:16, the ABCs of becoming a follower of Christ. Admit, believe, confess. And following him to the Jordan. Proclaiming him before the world. Baptizing, learning, small group Bible studies, Sunday school classes, real men conferences. Invite your neighbors to come. Man, I had a whole bunch of brothers coming from Graham, and then they had man camp. I was so bummed out. But you know what? I said, this is always next year, Denny. Enjoy your man camp. I'm going to enjoy real men. But keep on inviting people. Obedience, by doing what God says, living like Jesus, being committed. Don't let the devil win. Don't let him say that you can't do it. Right? Because that's what he wants to do. To come and steal and kill and destroy. To prowl around like a lion, seek who can devour. He's out there. So you get God's armor on, guys. Big advocate for God's armor. Right? The breastplate of righteousness, being right with God in relationship, the belt of truth, knowing the truth, set you free, and sharing what 1 Peter 3:15, be prepared to give the hope that's in you, right? To those who will listen. All important. Obedience, by doing what God says, living like Jesus, being committed, serving in humility, being the one scrubbing the toilets. Being the one scrubbing toilets brings Christ glory, believe it or not, to God, and one day teaching at Real Men Conference. Yeah. Both value in the eyes of God. Very much valued. Exodus 1:17, then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. So let's be obedient to the Lord continuously, the best you can. And when you mess up, go to God the best you can. Repent. If you can't do that, well, you better have a little pride issue here, right? Get that humble pie. Get a plate of that humble pie and enjoy it. And go to the Lord. Go to the altar. Fall on your knees. Wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They were called to abandon their old mission. John and James, Andrew and Peter, to abandon their old mission and to embrace a new one. So embrace this new mission that God has for you. God has a plan that includes you. Evangelism, discipleship, the process of learning God's word. Be transformed. Be renewed. I'll end with this. Simon Peter, a fisherman and the leader of the disciples, known for his strong faith and impulsive nature. He is often regarded as the rock upon which the church was built. We have Andrew, the brother of Peter, also a fisherman, who was the first to follow Jesus and introduced Peter to him. James, the son of Zebedee, a fisherman and part of Jesus' inner circle. He was known for his zeal and was later martyred for his faith. We have John, the brother of James, also a fisherman, known as the beloved disciple. He authored several New Testament books, including the Gospel of John. Philip, known for his inquisitive nature, he played a role in bringing Nathanael to Jesus. We have Bartholomew, Nathanael, recognized for his honesty and straightforwardness. He is believed to have been a close follower of Jesus. Then we have Thomas, often referred as the Doubting Thomas, for his initial skepticism about Jesus' resurrection. He later affirmed his faith. After what he went through with the Lord, I would too. Wow. Matthew, a tax collector, not the most loved. He wasn't called the beloved, right? Wouldn't it be cool? The beloved Matthew, the tax collector. The tax collector who became a disciple. He authored the Gospel of Matthew. James, the son of Alphaeus, sometimes referred to as James the Less. He is less prominent in the New Testament narratives. Thaddeus, Judas, son of James, also known as Judas the Zealot. He is mentioned in the list of disciples, but has less information available about him. We have Simon the Zealot, a member of the revolutionary group. He is noted for the zeal for Jewish law and tradition to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus does. He changes the heart. And then lastly, who would be the last? Huh? Judas Iscariot. The disciple who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, leading to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. God had a plan, didn't he? Even for Judas was involved in that plan. These disciples were ordinary men chosen by Jesus to spread his teaching and establish the early church, playing crucial roles in the foundation of Christianity. Remember, you cannot lead where you have not been. Lord God, thank you so much for the reading of your word. I pray, Lord God, that we were encouraged today and challenged by your word today. You spoke very personally to each and every one of us today. I thank you, God, for this opportunity. May you be glorified always. In Jesus' name, amen.